give you a special papal dispensation if you go to about 5 minutes after. All right? Special papal dispensation. Doesn't happen often.
All right. If you would join me in Luke chapter 5. Pastor said that they have a meal after this, and we usually eat about 3:30 on Sundays, but I guess now that he said 12:05, I'm going to move this just because I get a little animated and that might not be there at the end. But I was excited to be here, but now that I find out that I'm going to get followed up by Timothy McVeigh, isn't he the guy that bombed the Oklahoma City building? And you got him back.
Yeah.
You got him back. I'm impressed. Okay. If I can get in a church like that, that's a blessing. But it is a blessing to be here today. As Pastor said, my name is Gary Sauer. This is my daughter, Michaela. Why don't you stand up? This is our youngest daughter, Michaela. Our oldest daughter, Michelle, is out of the house, so she's not traveling with us. And my wife is traveling, but not with us today. Our organization, Athletes in Action, which is a ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, requires that we have Bible training. I obviously have a Bible degree from North Star Bible Institute, but my wife did not. So she is actually heading down to Daytona Beach today for 16 days. She'll be taking a couple of classes. She's had an eventful morning already. The plane was supposed to leave at 6 o'clock this morning. They pulled away from the gate at 5:55, so they look like they're going to be on time. They got out to de-ice, and someone on the plane had a panic attack. They had to go back to the gate to take the passenger off, and because the temperatures were only in the teens, they went back to de-ice the plane, and somehow they got that special chemical or fluid in one of the generators, and the generator shut down on the plane. So they had to bring it back to the gate and have an FAA inspector come and take a look at it. I don't know what time they took off, but I just checked my phone. She did miss her connecting flight in Atlanta, but they are now, it looks like she'll get in about 1:30 today, and her classes start tonight at 6 o'clock. So pray for her. Her name is Jan, if you would. It is a blessing to be here. Black Creek Baptist Church, easy to remember, BCBC. No BCAD down here, huh? Just everything is before Christ, and hopefully you're in Christ if the church isn't. Michaela, I found out the building was built 1898. When we came in this morning, she said, I think this is the oldest church building that we've been in, and the pastor was born just a few years after that. So we are, this is a special day for us. Timothy McVeigh, an old building, and Moses as the pastor. But it's great that we have a mutual friend in Paul Scott. Paul Scott and I actually were roommates together going to Bible college. And it's kind of funny, that little apartment. One of the guys is a missionary to Ukraine. The other one is Paul Scott, missionary to Vietnam. The other one is our missions pastor at First Bible Baptist, which is Don Curran. And I was a pastor at our church for almost 24 and a half years on staff. And now I've become a missionary. So God has done something special with that apartment. And I'd like to get some of our rent back to help pay for deputation, but such is that. And Pastor wanted me to give you just a little bit of an idea about our ministry, and then we'll preach, and then at 1 o'clock, hopefully you can stay. We're going to tell you a little bit more about what God is doing at the college in Brockport. And it really has been a phenomenal ride. We started on campus in August of 2010. And before we set foot on campus, we didn't know one athlete, we didn't know one coach, we didn't know one administrator, we didn't know anybody on the faculty or staff. And now I can tell you, after 4 years of being there part-time, we're in the process of going full-time, raising our support to be full-time Athletes in Action missionaries at the College of Brockport. We've had an opportunity to minister, to personally minister to 10 of the 21 teams, totaling 360 of their 550 athletes. So 65% of the college, we've had a chance to personally minister to the athletes. God has just done some great things this past year that we know of. We had 7 young men get saved through our Bible study with the football team. A third of the football team 115 players, a third of them is part of our Bible study with them. So God's just done some tremendous things. And what the way it started out was our church built a new building. And we forgot about selling the old one. How many of you ever had two mortgages at one time? Isn't that a blessing? Well, when you have two church buildings you're paying for, it required, after a couple years of being in a new building, our pastor had the unfortunate duty of informing us that we had to take a 10% pay cut in 2009, and then 2010 early, we had to take another 5% pay cut. And after that, I had to get a part-time job, as most of the staff did, to supplement their income. God led me to Seabreeze as a security guard. I got a radio, got a uniform, and I'm yelling at kids to put flip-flops on. I felt empowered. All that year, all those years in Bible college, and I'm chasing kids around. Don't chew gum and don't pull her hair on the log flume. But God brought a Campus Crusade area director to Seabreeze one night. We had known each other for about 8-10 years. He didn't realize what was going on. And when he saw me in the uniform, the security uniform, he said, "What are you doing?" I explained it. He says, "What are you going to do this fall?" This is July of 2010. I said, "Well, the Lord hasn't opened up another job yet." He goes, "We want to start an Athletes in Action chapter at the college at Brockport, and I don't have anyone to be the director. And if I've got to be away from my family working extra work, if I got to be away from my church duties, I would rather be in the ministry." Amen. So we started as a part-time job. And what we tell people, what started as a part-time job has now turned into a full-time burden. And we are just excited for this calling. I had no desire to leave our church. I'd never sent any resumes out or anything like that. So this is really just a work of God that He would open this door for us. So we encourage you. Should be some of these in your pews. There's more on the back table. We'd love to have you sign up for our prayer letter and our newsletter. And there's some sign-up sheets right on the table. So as you leave today, give us your name, your email address, your address if you don't have email. And we'd love to keep you informed of what God is doing there at the college. Really blessed today to, we traveled a ways. We live up in Hilton. And of course, our desire right now is to sell our house and move closer to the college in Brockport. So if you'd pray about that as well. We got a family. This is Chris and Lisa McClouth. I had the privilege. They were part, my job at First Bible Baptist was the singles director. And I had Chris and Lisa in our singles ministry, had the opportunity to marry them, or let me say, I had the opportunity to perform the ceremony, okay? No Mormons here. But this is Chris and Lisa. The daughter closest to Lisa is Scarlett, and this is Mackenzie. And what a blessing. They drove an hour and a half to come over here this morning. So, if you would, let's stand. We'll read the Word of God together. Looking forward to our time in the Scriptures. All right. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon, answering, said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Father, we're thankful for the time to be in your house this morning. We're thankful for the witness that you've raised up here in this community. And Lord, thank you for these people taking their time this morning to be in our service. We just ask that not only the reading, but the preaching, and then the Holy Spirit's application of the Word of God in our lives would just be a blessing to us today. Help us to cherish the things that you cherish. And Father, we just pray that your Spirit would have free course here this morning. Move in our midst. Set me behind the cross. I pray you'd open hearts and minds. And God, that you'd be honored and glorified today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now, if I quote a verse, do I get a toy?
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. If not, this young lady taught me where the stash is. I saw her during Sunday school. It was your birthday today? How old is she?
She's 11.
11. Well, happy birthday, sweetheart. But I saw, you too? You want one? Come on up.
Yeah.
Come on up. We got room here. And so I found out where the toys are. So if one of you Sunday school leaders don't give me something, I'm going for the stash. Everyone should be involved with missions. And sometimes what we do in the church is we give titles to people, and we sometimes think that all the responsibilities of that title fall to that person and not the rest of the body of Christ. Everyone should be involved with missions. I was involved with missions before I became a missionary. I was involved with missions before I became a pastor, because God's desire is for each and every one of us to be involved with winning our community. Do you realize there are people at your work that your pastors will never get a chance to touch their lives, but you will.
That's right.
There's people on your children's athletic teams or playground clubs or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts that your pastors, your deacons, your treasurers, whoever they may be, may not ever have a chance to bring them the gospel, but you will. And sometimes when we say, there's a missionary, that means that globe is his to go win. And really, it's all of our responsibilities to be missionaries. Everyone is a missionary somewhere and to some group of people. Everyone. What we usually call a missionary is someone who has a burden for a group of people and is working on or has access to that group to minister to them. Let me say that again. What we usually call a missionary is someone who has a burden for a group of people. For us, it's the athletes at the College of Brockport. Excuse me. I have a medical condition that if I don't drink every so often, I get thirsty. But we have a burden for the athletes. Don't worry, my medication's going to get changed tomorrow, so things will even out for me. See, we have a burden for the athletes at Brockport. And God has just given us a great deal of access to them already. And again, we'll hear more later today. But your access might be your family. It could be your neighborhood. It could be the teams your kids play on. It could be where you work. And other people never have that access. So you are a missionary. So let's take a look at this story here in Luke chapter 5 and see what Jesus is trying to teach us about the idea of missions here. So let's take a look first of all at the cause that implored him. The cause that implored him. David said, is there not a cause? When you think about David and fighting Goliath, there was a point when millions of other Israelis had an opportunity to fight Goliath, and they didn't take it. The army of Israel stood there dismayed by Goliath and the Philistine army, and every one of those people in that military unit had the opportunity to go against Goliath, and they didn't take it.
Right.
But David came along and listened to the blasphemy of this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, and he says, is there not a cause? We believe, if from what I understand of your pastor and your church, that we believe every word of God is pure, correct? And that this book is God's book. You realize that only, I believe, 51 days out of Jesus' entire life is recorded in Scripture. So that means if something is recorded, it's very important and God wants us to take notice. So let's take a look at this story here and see what God's trying to teach us. And again, the first thing is, what is the cause, number one, that implored him? And A, let's look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to what? hear the word. So the first cause for this story is recorded is that people could hear the word of God. Jesus wasn't there just to have some fun. He wasn't down at the beach to get a tan. He wasn't out going to go surfing or skiing. He was there so that he could give people the word of God. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14, we sometimes forget to include that in the package. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And what do they say? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. Jesus Christ was the preacher's preacher. That's why he came here, to seek and to save that which is lost. And he stands on this shore. And he's got a little bit of a problem. The crowd is thronging him and pushing him back. And they can't hear him. And you know what? A missionary is someone who is trying to give a group of people a better opportunity to hear the word of God and respond to Christ in a positive way. The second thing I see here is to see the Son of God. Not only to hear the word of God, but to see the Son of God. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. Jesus is trying to separate himself a little bit from the crowd to make it easier for them to see him. And sometimes today, you know, especially when you talk about college, secular colleges, and you talk about athletes, and of course all the bad stuff that makes the press, and people say none of them care about God, and I disagree. For a third of the football team to attend a Bible-believing Bible study,
amen,
tells me that they have the same attitude that the Greeks did in John chapter 12 when they said we would see Jesus. That's what a missionary's job is. It's to get out of the way so that people can see Jesus.
Amen.
We don't want them looking at us.
Right.
That's pure disaster if you look at my life. You are not going to get an accurate opinion or authoritative view of God by looking at me, but you will by looking at Christ.
Amen.
And that's what the Greeks said to Philip. We would see Jesus. Can you hook us up? And you know what? People today still want to see the Son of God. They don't want to see us, but they need to see Christ living in us. Are we standing in the way or making it possible for Christ to be easier seen by them? The cause of Christ here, it needed a platform, it needed a vehicle. Peter made it possible for the people not only to hear, but to see Christ. A man, nobody loves sitting behind me in church or standing behind me during the song service. Now, you might have a chance. You're fairly tall. Your kids, it's going to look like a lunar eclipse. You know what I mean? They're going to go to look up at the Pastor Asquith or whoever, Roger, if he's leading. Right, Roger? I just know him as Pastor Emeritus. I thought it was his last name. And Junior here, who's now hiding because I embarrassed him, I can't see a thing. This tree is standing in front of me. And you know what? Jesus said, I want the people not only to hear me, but to see me. And to do that, I'm going to have to use someone else. And that's where the story turns here. So let's take a look here. And if you ever think about this, let me ask you this. What are some miracles that Christ performed? What's that?
The blind.
Okay, healing the blind. Okay, the what? Okay, fish and the loaves, feeding of 5,000, later did 4,000. What else? Another.
Walking on water.
Walking on water.
Kicking devils.
Kicking out devils. Let's go back to the walking on water. What is the setting here? Where are they? They're at the beach. Why couldn't the people see Jesus? Because they had thronged him. They had pressed down on him. And they're all, you know, he's got his back. You know, it's kind of like he's got his back to the water here. And everybody's coming down. They want to see him. They want to hear him. And they can't. All the big guys, the basketball team, is standing in front. Nobody else can see or hear. So if Jesus could walk on water, why didn't he? How about this? You ever think about this, Pastor? Cornelius is a devout man. Okay? Now,
Italian band, I don't know what kind of music they played. But I mean, he was a devout man. And so much so that God heard his prayers and God wanted to bring him the gospel. So God gives him Peter's cell phone number, his Twitter account, gives him his Facebook name, and tells Cornelius to go get Peter, and Peter would come and give him the gospel. Why didn't God witness to Cornelius? Well, didn't he know the Romans Road? Oh, what's the one after 3:10? Oh, man. I wish those Sunday school kids were here to witness to Cornelius. Why? Think about it. Why didn't God witness to Cornelius? He gave up everything he needed to know to find Peter. Why didn't he give him everything he needed to know to find Jesus? So why doesn't Jesus Christ just back up and walk out on the water?
Well,
why doesn't Peter... Oh, look at Rabbit. Sorry, I just learned that missionary training. People's distraction to reach in and grab the offering. So why wouldn't Jesus perform a miracle to get those people the gospel and the word of God?
Well,
because the miracle is sitting in the pews. Miracle is the transformed, regenerated life of a Christian that is to go and give them the gospel. Jesus will not perform a miracle if we are the miracle and we are available.
That's right.
Why did he, right? Skip the whole Peter thing. Peter didn't always get it, did he? He kind of, sometimes he's a few bars off on a song. No, we're not singing that one anymore, Peter. We're on to this one. Peter was always a little off. So why mess around? Why not give him to God? Why not just back up on the water? Woo! Look at this. A little moonwalk on the water. And give them, because he wants to use us. He doesn't need to.
That's right.
That's the great thing about being involved with the gospel work.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't need us. He wants us. Is that not a tremendous thought? That God wants us.
So let's take a look here, some more of the story. So let's look now, number two, at the challenge that compelled him. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him. Now, isn't that wild? Now, humanly speaking, who owned that boat? Oh, let me come over here. I don't want you guys to feel left out.
Humanly speaking, who owned that boat?
Simon.
Divinely speaking, who owned that boat? Jesus did. Right? We all agree?
So, why does Jesus, if Jesus owns the boat, divinely speaking, why does Jesus ask Peter for permission to use his vessel? You ever think about that? Who made the tree? Who made the earth? Who made the birds?
Sure.
Who made everything to make that tree? And who gave the wisdom to builders to make it a boat? Who gave all that? God. Good job. Nice job, buddy Nephi. Nice job. Jesus did. And yet, now, what's the verse say? Where was Jesus standing when he asked Peter to use the boat? See, Jesus stood in the vessel and asked the vessel's owner if he could use it. Jesus stood in the vessel and said, Gary, do you mind changing your career at 55 so I can use you? See, Jesus Christ stands in our vessel and will not violate our free will. But he wants to use us, and he says, Gary, can I? Pastor John, can I? Pastor Roger, can I? Pat, can I? Right? I get it right? Pat, can I use you? As he stands in the vessel, he wants to use us, but will not violate our free will. So, he said, here is the Christ concession. He says, I prayed him. He asked Peter to use his boat as he was standing in the vessel. And B, Christ's investigation. Notice, what does he ask Peter to do in verse 3? What does he ask Peter to do? Once he's in the vessel, what does he ask Peter to do with it?
Thrust out.
Thrust out a little.
Now,
kids, listen, I know it's tough to be a kid. I was one once. Now I'm a parent. I have the opportunity to annoy two kids in my family. And sometimes when we give instruction, I see the teens over here. Teens, I see you guys laughing. Is this like your deacons and deaconettes? They over here, are they going to do flip charts on how good I'm doing?
You better believe it.
Okay, all right. So isn't it sometimes frustrating when the folks give you some instruction that's not real definitive, but you know you're still in trouble when you do your best? All right, so that just, God does that, keep everybody humble and kids trying to seek God. Anyway, what does he tell them to do? Verse 3. Thou shalt what?
Little.
How big is a little? How long is a little? How far is a little?
Come on.
How far? How far? It's a little. Sorry, you can't use the word in the definition, buddy. I don't care how many hits your website gets. You cannot violate the rules of English. You can't use the word. Of making us fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. He'll test our heart. See, Christ's concession was, Peter, this is your boat, and I'm going to ask your permission to use it. Once you give it to me, Jesus speaking, once you give me permission to use your vessel, then I'm going to search your heart, and I'm going to say, thrust out a little. Thrust out a little. Now, if Peter didn't see the big picture here, what God wanted to do with him, you imagine him sitting there and goes like this? Well, you know, one little row, and you're about 4 foot from land. How many more people could see him if he was just 4 foot away? See, Peter, Christ, is investigating Peter's heart, finding out if Peter understands the seriousness and the importance of just a little request by God to thrust out a little. Peter's going, oh, I get it. These guys need to hear and see Jesus Christ. Let's back this puppy up. Let's get this thing 40, 50 feet out from shore, because the further Jesus gets, they're going to see him, right? You know what God does with us? He that is He that is unfaithful with unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to him the true riches of God? So in other words, if I can't handle the little practical things of life that God or maybe my pastor asked me to do, he's probably not going to ask me to lead a Sunday school or disciple someone. And you know what? God has the same principle he's showing in here. Thrust out a little, Peter. Let's see if Peter understands how important that little request is in getting Jesus to a point that the people can hear and see him better. Thrust out a little. So what is your little? Is it maybe nursery? Sunday school? Maybe your little is next Monday, coming here early, making the cocoa so the people that do go sledding have a chance to come back and have a nice environment. Maybe it's Saturday night at the sing-along with the dead guy, Timothy McVeigh. Yeah, I'm coming. I don't care. It's a 2-hour drive. I'm coming back. I just want to see it for myself. Wait until I tell Jan. Jan, stay on the plane. You're much better off. I'm going to go to Dead Evangelist. But you know what? God may say to you, just give me a little. Never a little with God. Because it's training for something big.
Yeah.
It's training for something big.
Yeah,
sir. So, Christ's investigation thrust out. What if Peter said no? What would that have taught the people about Christ? It would have taught them that hearing and seeing Jesus Christ was not important. So even in the little things, when God asks us to do them and we do not, the overall thing is we're telling people seeing and hearing Jesus Christ is not important. So number 3, last point, the conquest that inspired him. You know, there's always something more to learn and experience in God's work. Look at verse 4 now. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, what? Launch out into the deep. Now what's the difference here? See, if Simon had never obeyed and thrust out a little, he would never be in a position for God to ask him to do something greater.
Come on.
And now in verse 4, he says, launch out into the deep. How many of you guys, gals, like to fish? Okay, you got some fishermen? Okay, I do too. Do you realize the bigger ones are not caught around the dock? You know what you get at the dock?
You get bait for out there.
You want the big ones? You got to go out there. Now, what else is out there? Now, don't say Loch Ness and Moby Dick. Okay, you and the Tooth Fairy need to get over all that. But you know what's out there? There's bigger waves.
Yeah.
There's greater consequences.
Come on.
And a greater need for faith. But do you want to catch the big fish?
Yes, right.
Okay. Then you've got to launch out in the deep to bring the big ones in. We can see the progression as Christ continues to grow Peter's faith by testing him. How far would he go? God does the same with us, drawing us out into deeper water. No faith is required until we go beyond our natural ability. No faith is required until we go beyond our natural ability. We need to challenge our current mission's involvement. Are we tipping God? Or do we really want to get out in the deep where the fish are? And notice, letter B for point 3, where first he says in verse 4 to launch out into the deep. What is the next request that he gives Peter in verse 4? Let down your nets. To let down your nets. Now, so let me ask you this. How many of you think the story is focusing on the boat, Peter's boat? How many think it's focusing on the boat? Okay. How many think it's focusing on the fish? Right? Because that's why you go out deep.
That's right.
How many think it's the nets? How many think the story is the nets? So what do you think the story is really about?
Peter.
Peter. What do we sometimes get twinkle dusted by? The boats, the nets, and the fish. But this whole story, you know what God's doing? See, it's not your boat. It's not your house. It's not your car. It's not your income. It's not your talents or your abilities. It's what Pastor said in our Sunday school. It's us. God is always working to put us in the offering plate. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. That's what God is always working to get. It's not the things that we have that we cling so tight to. God's trying to get them out of our hands so he can wrap his arms around us. Do you ever try hugging somebody when they're holding a boat? Oh, God, you know I love my boat.
That's right, bro. That's good.
Still with me, buddy? That is the best greeter of all the churches I've been in. The young man with the blue and striped shirt there, right at the door, greeted us this morning. That was a blend. You're the besides. Who's the dude? You're the shoveler. Nice job out there. Except you missed the other side of the church. But so we kind of saw him first, but he was the first person to greet us. So thank you. You made us feel very welcome. Yeah. But you ever try hugging somebody when they have their cottage in the way?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or their profession is in the way?
Come on.
Can't. So God's trying to take that out of our hands. So he can hug us and say, let's go out in the deep. I know it's going to be scary. The waves are going to be bigger. The consequences are greater. But we're going to have a good time fishing. We're going to have a good time fishing out there. So what does he ask Peter to do now? After launching out, what does he ask Peter to do? Let down his nets. Let's see how Peter responds. Verse 5. And Simon answering said, behold, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've never said that to God, right? Like, are you nuts? This person will never take this track from me. Are you kidding me? Go up there? No way. But Peter did, so we'll use him for an example. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the, what's it say?
Net.
Is every word of God pure? Every word of God is pure. God, what did Christ request of Peter?
Nets.
What did Peter offer?
Nets.
Nobody, I'm sure this is not the place I need to mention anything about partial obedience. I'm sure every time God's asked us to do something, it's been 100%. So this is just recording so you can send it to someone else. All right? And watch verse 6. So you would think now that we got partial obedience, we won't have the blessing of God, right? Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. Now you would think because it's only partial obedience, there'd be no blessing. But see, God is so rich in his mercy. He is so abundant in his riches. Even a little blessing breaks our nets.
Yes, right.
Even when we do not fully obey him, our nets break. We can't. What do they say? Open the windows of heaven, we wouldn't be able to receive it. And sometimes we look at our blessings and we say, I must be in the will of God. And all the time, God's trying to take our boats, our nets, and our fish away from us. Because he's trying to refine us even more. We have to be careful. I enjoy the blessings of God. The testimonies are great. They're very encouraging. But we have to be careful. We don't say, I must be 100% right with God because he's blessed. Was Peter? Did Peter obey fully? Christ asked for what? Nets. How many is that? It's at least two. It's at least two. It could have been, there may have been four or five in the boat. How many did Peter offer? How many did he put in God's service? One. And what a disaster. See, the conquest was over who knew best how to use Peter's resources. See, Peter was problem conscious and not power conscious. God, listen. Jesus, I know you don't know much, but let me just inform you. I am a commercial fisherman. I was here all night. And all night to them meant all night. And we didn't catch a thing. Nevertheless, thy word. Hey, James, bye. All right, let's pacify him. Throw it over. Throw one net over. Oops. That just broke. That means we got a lot of fish in there. See, Peter was problem conscious and not power conscious. He wasn't looking to the power, he was looking to the circumstances. Peter thought his expertise and experience put him in a place to question Christ's request. He was fixated on natural laws and not supernatural laws. To be involved with God's work and see it done well, you have got to realize it's going to be a supernatural. When people go, did those things really happen at the State University of New York in Brockport? I even brought a witness. Okay? I got a witness. They say, that is God. Absolutely. I know it ain't us. I know it's God. And that's the exciting thing. Notice that when Peter, listen carefully, notice that when Peter controlled his possessions, they were unfruitful. When he turned his possessions over to Christ, the night before he caught how many? And one net over the side at God's request, it breaks. He gets so many fish. So when Peter controlled his possessions, so when I control my possessions, I really can't expect them to be too fruitful. I've got to turn them over to God. Let God direct your missions giving and not your budget. Now, your pastor's sitting right here, so watch how we will maintain our friendship with a statement by a missionary getting your money. You need to do what God tells you to do. If God doesn't tell you to give, don't give.
Right.
Is that okay, Pastor?
That's right down the line.
That's it. We have to trust God. You have to obey God. And when the two things happen, God will take care of his work. Whatever God orders, he pays for. You ever go to a restaurant with someone? And they go, oh, wow, I forgot my wallet. Michaela, don't pull it today. Okay, just because mom's gone. Yeah. All right? Who has to put the net over the boat? God. So if God says to put a net over, my suggestion is you put the net over.
Right.
God asks for nets. My suggestion, you put nets over. So Pastor had a good point last service where sometimes people get coaxed into giving and then they hurt their family. No, that ain't us. That's not God. If God tells you to put your nets over, you better put them over.
Sure.
If he doesn't tell you, do you still obey? You understand? Is that all right, Pastor?
Is
that all right? Okay. So just like Christ's request with Peter, make it word-driven. Peter only let down one net, not in perfect faith, and yet God still blessed. Now, let me give you the conclusion, some points here. Look at verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. There will be lost opportunities when we hold back on God. What do we look at? Look how many fish we caught. You know what God's looking at? A hole in a net that fish got through. If Peter had put 2, 3, 4, 5 nets down, the weight of the fish would have been distributed evenly, and they all would have got in the boat. But when we hold back on God, we just lose opportunities to affect more people with the gospel. Number 2, look at verse 7. And they beckoned unto their what? Partners. Missionaries need partners to get the job done. That's what we're here for. We're hoping to partner with Black Creek Baptist Church to win some athletes to Christ. 3 John 8 says, it talks about the fellow helpers of the truth. That's why missionaries travel around. They're trying to get fellow helpers to help them get the truth out. Look at number 3 here, is also in verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to what?
Sink.
So the things we hold dear are endangered when we do not fully obey God. Here's what we do. God asks for our car. Are you willing to go pick people up to bring them to church?
No.
And we go, no. And we don't understand why all of a sudden the roof starts leaking. We don't understand why some health situations come up. Because you know what we're good at, myself included, we compartmentalize. God asks for the car. I'm not too cool about driving around Black Creek in the winter with all the snow, so I'm not going to obey. So God, don't touch anything else I have. Peter disobeys. The net not only gets broken, but then what? These ships were made to do what? Catch fish and float. And now the ships are, their net's broken. Oh, we've got to fix it again. Got to go down to, you know, a tractor supply, get some big, thick rope. And now I'm losing my boat. Because when we hold back on God, it affects everything in our lives, not just the thing that He asked for. Now, verse 4 is my fun point. This is my fun point. All right, the clock's behind us, so we can't see it. Here's my fun point. You believe every word of God is pure? Where does Peter fall down to? What's the next verse? When the net breaks and the boat starts sinking, where does Peter fall down to? See, I think we have a scribal error there. I think we have an unfortunate rendering. I believe. No, I don't believe that. Listen, I even told Pastor one time, you believe the King James, and I even believe the mistakes. Oh, I love the look on his face. I don't believe there are any, but I love the response. So, right, I'm here this morning, a Friday night, I didn't know that's right. There's a new face coming. I'm not competing with that. All right, I had a hard enough time getting up out of bed, let alone the dead. Anyway, when people usually fall down to worship Jesus, where does it say that they are? Is every word of God pure? Right? We believe that? Okay. So where did he hold? Where did he?
Jesus' knees.
Okay. Why the difference? What was in the boat?
Fish.
A lot of fish. Right? A lot of fish. What was Jesus, or what was Peter's profession? Fisherman. Think about this. How did he get to Peter's, or how did he get to Jesus' knees? Laying on fish. You know, sometimes God calls for us to make a sacrifice. No. We have a hard time writing the check or opening the wallet or giving someone a ride. Remember, it's not just money. Remember?
Right.
Giving somebody a ride, teaching in Sunday school, working in there. We have a hard time with that, don't we? And then a bunch of kids get up here, and 6 months later, they've memorized some scripture which they'll hide in their heart that they might not sin against God.
Amen, brother.
And we go, I can't even remember what the sacrifice was like. Peter's whole life was to catch fish. So here he is, laying on the fish. Slimy. How many ladies just love it when your husband comes home and says, you carve it up? Okay? Imagine laying on it, and they're still alive. This is not the meat market of Wegmans, you know, where they're slapped. These are alive, and he's laying on them. It doesn't matter. All he wants to do is get a hold of Jesus.
whole life was about boats and fish and nets, and it doesn't matter. So my point is this. When we get a hold of Christ, the sacrifice seems like nothing. And our possessions, we don't even think about.
That's good.
Right?
Yes.
He's laying on these fish, and he goes, man, it's like, I wanted this boat so bad. Oh, I got this boat. I hate this boat.
What's the two best days in a man's life? The day he buys a boat and the day he sells it. Peter's got all the fish he ever wanted right there, and it doesn't matter because he wants to get a hold of Jesus. So our sacrifices will seem very small when we get a hold of Christ.
And then look at verse 10. Peter gets a new purpose in life. What does he say about him? Thou shalt henceforth, what? Catch men. And they all got a new perspective on life in verse 11. And they had brought their ships to land. They forsook all and followed him. Do you realize, who was the main? Turn over to Psalms, if you would, real quick. Psalms 107.
Who was the main thrust? Who was the main character in the story? Besides Jesus, don't get spiritual on me. Just work with me here, people. Peter. And yet, who forsook all their boats and nets to follow Jesus? Mm-hmm. The people around Peter. See, that's the influence we have on others when we give our lives to Christ. We have no idea how it will affect others, but next thing you know, Peter has a new purpose in life, and they've got a new perspective. They didn't care about all the possessions. So let me just leave you with these verses here. Psalms 107. We'll read all the way through Psalms 150. I'm only kidding. I'm hungry too. All right? Psalms 107, verse 23. Watch this. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business where? In great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Black Creek Baptist Church, thrust out a little, and then launch out into the deep and enjoy the ride. Pastor?